Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. I'm so excited to be able to share today's story with you. Not only is it a super fun adventure story with dragons and a race of people with built-in armor, it's also written by my good friend, Constance Lopez. We started exchanging books for critiques a couple years ago, which is a super vulnerable thing that either quickly makes people friends or quickly shows how incompatible you are. And I'm happy to say we had the first experience. Constance is actually a romantic fantasy writer, and while this particular story doesn't reflect the sweet romance that's usually in her stories, it's proof that romance writers can still write excellent action. Constance grew up having epic duels in the woods with her siblings, and nature is still one of her favorite places to be. If she isn't out there dictating her stories, did I mention she's the one who got me hooked on dictating? She's dragging her children and husband on adventures. They sound a bit like me because she says they always enjoy it once they're outside, and I tend to need that push as well. And while she claims they don't go out in the summer because of their Texas heat, I would like to fight her for rights to the most miserable summer heat. Today's narrator is Peter Franson, host of Christian Geek Central. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from both the author and the narrator. For now, please enjoy Of Drakens and Disaster by Constance Lopez.
Zadig slammed his opponent into the ground, clawed fist tearing the leather where he gripped the man's armor. Match! The call, though only from the side of the training yard, sounded distant in Zadig's ears. He rolled his shoulders, forcing himself to disengage. As he pulled back on his bloodlust and his magic, the deep, black wings he had sprouted mid-fight faded away and his talons shortened, the magical augmentation returning to the shorter, but still very sharp, claws he normally had. He straightened and put a hand out to help his brother-in-arms, Boris, up. Boris grunted as he got his feet under him, and he slapped Zadig on the shoulder.
Well fought, brother.
Well fought,
Zadig murmured in return. A fight with another draken was always well fought. His brethren were vicious, deadly warriors, and Zadig greatly enjoyed not having to hold back against them. It was always a good day when he could fight a draken instead of one of the interloping humans who came to join his clan. Boris picked at the tears in his leather armor.
It would have been nice if you hadn't done this, though. It'll take me ages to mend.
It wouldn't take you ages if you weren't such a shoddy leather worker.
Boris elbowed Zadig in the side for the jab. They moved off of the field, allowing another set to begin behind them. Zadig went for the water barrel, using the ladle to pour some over his head before taking large gulps. The water spilled down his chin and over his chest.
She could have downed him there, Boris muttered.
Zadig passed the ladle to him as he looked over at the match Boris was observing. Polina was facing off against one of the humans. Greg? Garrett? Zadig couldn't remember his name, and he didn't really care. Boris was right. The man had left himself wide open, and Zadig had fought against Polina often enough to know she was ruthless and would never have let Zadig get away with such a mistake. She could be ruthless, he amended. But the born drakens had strict orders from Ivor, the draken clan leader, to ease the humans into fighting. Compared to the born drakens, like Zadig, who came from draken parents, these humans were like children, awkward, weak, slow. They had to train twice as hard, and it took them years, sometimes even decades, before they were deemed strong enough, worthy enough, and Ivor proclaimed them ready to undergo the draken ritual, which infused them with the draken magic, much like the very first drakens had been centuries before. Only then would they grow the talons and the scales that came naturally to Zadig and his peers. And only then would they truly be ready to fight dragons without assistance from full-fledged drakens. Zadig hated the humans. His clan didn't need them. Even youngling Drakens could best a human any day of the week. The best they were good for was breeding stock, but a Draken who married a human would bear a Draken child anyway. So he didn't know why the clan leader insisted on pandering to them. They were a liability in a fight, and their training was time-consuming and arduous and better spent on honing the real Draken's skills. He turned his back on the sparring match and strode from the training grounds. Polina would win her fight, and then she would probably go up against a real Draken, someone who could actually test and challenge her skills. Zadig didn't care to watch such a predictable outcome. He had better places to be. He found Ivor just outside his tent, speaking to one of his captains. The clan leader was grizzled, a full silver beard sprouting from his face and falling to halfway down his chest. His gray hair was in tight braids close to his scalp and merged into a single braid at the nape of his neck. He wore leather armor as he always did, as all the Drakens did. It was custom more than necessity, as their hardened skin and scales were better protection than any leather armor could be. But they also believed in being prepared, and it was better to be already lightly armored in case of nasty surprises. It took a few moments for their magic to manifest the scales they could cover their skin in, and a few moments could win a fight. Zadig stopped a respectful distance away as Ivor finished speaking to his captain. The captain saluted and left, and only then did Ivor turn and beckon to Zadig.
"Good morning, master,"
Zadig greeted, a small trickle of pleasure threading through him. Only he could call Ivor master, because only he was training under the man to take over the role of leadership.
"Report."
Ivor's voice was a growling rumble, more thunder than man.
"There's little to report today, master."
Zadig pressed his fist to his chest in salute, then fell in beside Ivor as the clan leader started into the camp.
"First group returned late last night, Dewclaw in hand. Third group is in Cormay. They've had no sighting of dragons and await your orders." "Tell them to stay put. Winter is almost over, and it's only a matter of days before the dragons awake from their hibernation. Cormay's cattle are always a tempting target for the hungry beasts."
Zadig nodded, adding the order to his mental list.
"We'll take the time to send out one last hunting party."
Ivor's words cut off as a scout skidded to a stop in front of him and gave a hasty salute.
"Report,"
Ivor said.
"The southern hunting party just returned."
That set Ivor into motion, and Zadig was quick to follow, heart thrumming. The southern hunting party was several days delayed from their expected return. Ivor had already said he'd send warriors after them if they hadn't come back by the following day. The warriors were surrounded by family and friends by the time Ivor and Zadig reached them. They were ragged and dirty, with far too many bandages covering exposed skin. Zadig did a quick head count, and his stomach dropped. He did another, just to be certain. One Draken was missing. Ivor found the captain of the hunting party.
"Report."
The man limped closer, tipping his head down.
"A flight of two. We tried to catch them in the foothills, but they circumvented us and attacked the Flamewood logging community nearby. They razed the entire place to the ground and destroyed the young Flamewood saplings."
He swallowed, defeat clouding his face.
"There were no survivors, and..."
He squeezed his eyes shut.
"We lost Fyodor."
Silence gutted the gathering. Dragons were calculating, malevolent beasts. Zadig knew this through to his core. The evil nature of the dragons that plagued Khazmia were the reason Zadig's people even existed. They were crafted specifically to fight the monsters who actively worked to destroy the people living in Khazmia. Knowing that never fully prepared him for reports like this one, though. He had no respect for humans. They were prey. They were weak. But his duty, the Draken purpose, was to protect them from the dragons' destruction precisely because of how weak they were. Such a failure as the raising of an entire community was a heavy blow.
"See to your wounds,"
Ivor finally said, his voice subdued.
"We will share Podejha once you're tended to."
The captain saluted.
"As you say, clan leader."
He turned to direct his warriors. A young Draken approached from the heart of the camp and saluted Ivor.
We now have two arrivals on the north side of camp, clan leader. Two humans wishing to join the Drakens.
Irritation flicked through Zadok, but Ivor merely gestured for the scout to lead on and turned in his steps to follow. It was always the clan leader's duty to assess newcomers with a gift of preternatural discernment, a magic that he possessed beyond the normal Draken abilities. Zadok would receive that magic the day Ivor handed over leadership to him. The two humans in question stood together near the edge of the camp. They were gangly, fit young men. They looked like they were only a few years younger than Zadok himself, but that meant little. Zadok was Draken. He aged more slowly than humans, and he couldn't be bothered to remember exactly what the different rate was. Regardless, they were hardly more than children, right on the upper cusp of maturing into adults. The older one, who had broad shoulders and even a small scattering of whiskers masquerading as a beard on his chin, stood almost as tall as Zadok, and he had dark brown hair. His companion looked more like a child than a man, with an even thinner frame and wavy auburn hair. He had a finely made longbow slung over his back. The boys straightened when they caught sight of Ivor. They gave shallow, stilted bows that made Zadok frown.
"Welcome to my clan," Ivor rumbled. "You seek to become Draken?"
"Yes, sir,"
the boys said in unison.
"You're hardly more than hatchlings,"
he said the words without heat, but the observation still made the younger boy's ears tinge pink.
"We're willing to learn, though, master."
Zadok growled a low, animalistic rumble that made the boys jump and their eyes widen.
"Clan leader. You call him clan leader."
Only he deserved to call Ivor master, not these weakling humans who thought themselves good enough to join his brethren. Ivor cast Zadok a dry look, but he didn't contradict him.
"It takes a long time to earn the skills of a Draken,"
Ivor said.
"Years, and even then, some never take the ritual."
Resolve hardened on the boys' faces.
"I will do whatever it takes, clan leader," the older one said.
The other nodded vigorously. Ivor studied them for several moments, assessing them with his magic, no doubt.
"Very well,"
he finally said.
"What are your names?"
"Aemon Teig,"
the younger one said, giving another awkward bow.
"Kent Milne,"
the older one said.
"Aemon and Kent,"
Ivor repeated.
"We welcome you into our ranks. May your skills grow and your hunts be bountiful."
Zadok ran a hand through his hair as his opponent left the ring, cradling his arm. The fight had been short. Zadok hadn't held back. There was nothing he detested more. He scanned the onlookers.
"That was hardly even a warm-up. Who's next?"
"I'll go."
His gaze homed in on the speaker, and he didn't bother concealing his sneer. It was Kent, one of the humans who had joined a few days before. Zadok scoffed.
"Not today, hatchling. I want a real fight, not to hold back for the likes of you."
Kent shrugged, not arresting his movement into the ring.
"Don't hold back, then. I never asked you to."
There was a cocky measure to the words that made Zadok's hackles rise, like this human actually thought he could beat Zadok. He growled,
"It's your death."
The other boy who had arrived with him, Aemon, scrambled after Kent, grabbing his arm and whispering,
"Kent, he'll rip you apart. Didn't you see what he just did to a full Draken?"
Kent merely shrugged him off and moved into position across from Zadok. He pulled a wooden practice sword from his belt and raised it with an air of ease. Maybe he wasn't wholly incompetent for a human, but he was still a human. Zadok bared his teeth and flexed his fists. Time to get this game over with so he could go on to a real fight. If only he didn't have to hold back because he was facing a human. He leaped toward Kent, raising an arm to strike. Kent dove to the side, swinging wildly as he went. Dodging such a sloppy strike wasn't even hard. Zadok went for him again, and Kent dodged again, but he seemed to keep his wits about him this time. Instead of moving with panicked, jerky motions, he kept his steps careful and focused. They danced around each other like this for a few moments, Kent stayed on the defensive, but managed to hold his own against Zadok's attacks. Zadok grew increasingly frustrated, and he poured more speed and power into his strikes. Not enough to kill the human, but enough to end the fight. He darted forward, slashing at Kent's leg. The man didn't dodge in time, and the crisp satisfaction of victory rose in Zadok. Until Kent's sword whipped into his head at full speed, slamming into his ear. Pain exploded through his skull. Zadok went down on one knee. The world around him tilted as he worked to regain his bearings. He barely registered how Kent gripped at his bleeding leg as he circled Zadok. He did register the man pointing his sword at Zadok's throat just long enough to make it clear he'd bested Zadok. Then Kent was gone. Zadok scrambled to his feet and roared, even as his head spun from the movement.
"You cheated!"
Kent was already limping out of the ring, but he stopped and half-turned, brows going up.
"What?"
"You cheated!"
Zadok stalked toward him, vision reddening, his mind flipping through all the ways he could kill this insolent human.
"How?"
"Yes, how?" Zadok repeated mockingly. "How did you manage to dishonorably best a draken when you're nothing but a hatchling?"
Kent's shoulders tensed, but then he scoffed and turned away, stalking from the ring. It was all the invitation Zadok needed. He snarled and leaped after his prey. He would end him. He would... Hands grabbed his arms, halting his momentum, but Zadok was too far gone to care. He snarled and struggled against the grips, hardly aware of the familiar voices telling him to stop. He was a hunter, and his prey was right there, staring at him with shocked, wide eyes.
"Enough."
The word was quiet, but laced with power, with menace, and it silenced the training yard. Zadok snapped out of his frenzy, only to see Ivor looming a few feet away. His hands were at his sides, fingers curved and ready to make use of the talons at their tips. But that was the only sign of tension in his body. Quickly, Zadok shook off his captors and straightened, bowing his head before the clan leader. Shame festered in his bones, and still his head pounded from Kent's final blow. Ivor looked over the scene, his gaze sweeping from Zadok and the Drakens who had stopped him to Kent, battered from their fight and looking ready for another one.
"Come,"
Ivor said, turning away. Ice laced through Zadok as he followed his leader. They went to Ivor's tent, Zadok, Kent, and Aemon, whom Kent was leaning on to help him walk. Zadok longed for the second human to leave. He didn't need another witness to his humiliation. But Ivor didn't tell him to go, so Zadok didn't dare either. Ivor ordered them to relay what had happened. He listened first to Zadok and then to Kent, and the silence stretched long as he stared at them, and when he broke it, he spoke to Zadok.
"You know the rules."
Zadok cringed.
"I do, Master. I'm sorry."
"If you truly thought that Kent had cheated, you should have brought the matter to me. We do not fight each other outside of the sparring ring, Zadok. We are clan."
Zadok tipped his head down in silent acknowledgement. There was nothing else for him to say. He had lost his head, and he had done the unthinkable, and now he could only wait for his punishment.
"There's been a report of a young dragon in the woods to the east."
Zadok's head snapped up at the clan leader's bizarre change of subject. Was it possible that Ivor did not intend to punish him for his slip in control? Ivor met his gaze.
"You leave at dawn to hunt."
Excitement suffused Zadok, but it was quickly doused by Ivor's next words.
"You'll take Kent and Aemon with you."
Zadok reared back.
"But they're..."
His words died in his throat at the look Ivor gave him, and horror welled up. This was his punishment. A single draken could handle a young dragon if it was young enough. Ivor was sending the humans along for Zadok's rash actions today. His teeth clacked as he snapped them shut. He pressed his fist to his chest.
"As you say, clan leader."
"Go."
Ivor's gaze tracked over the side of Zadok's head, which was no doubt already swelling from the blow he'd taken.
Have the healers fix you up so you're ready for the morning.
Zadok saluted once more and turned on his heel, barely noting the matching stunned expressions on Kent's and Aemon's faces. He strode from the tent, furious humiliation coiling inside him. They headed out just as the sun crested the eastern horizon. Zadok stalked ahead, half hoping to leave the two humans behind, except that if he did, he would then have to go get them because Draekons never left brethren behind when out on a hunt. He had never found the tradition so irksome before. They traveled all morning in peace. Kent and Aemon kept up with Zadok, but they didn't try to talk to him, which was perfectly fine in his mind. Their weapons, Aemon's bow and arrows, Kent's sword and dagger, clanked noisily as they walked, a grating rhythm on Zadok's ears. They spoke between themselves, their voices low. Zadok did his best to drown out their droning. They stopped by a stream for lunch, and while Kent still scowled in his direction, Aemon crossed the space Zadok had intentionally left between them. They had passed through a village earlier that day, and Aemon had bargained with an old woman before catching up to them, carrying a small sack that wafted enticing smells. Now he held out the source of the smell to Zadok.
I got enough salted rabbit for all of us if you'd like some. There's a loaf of fresh bread as well, and some honeyed mead.
Zadok eyed the offered meat, the scent filling his nose. Salted and savory, and some hints of herbs. Thyme, perhaps?
Keep your snacks, he growled, tearing a bite off the hardtack they had brought with them. I want nothing from the likes of you.
Kent scoffed from his spot 20 paces away, and Aemon's jaw ticked. His fingers tightened on the offered food. He started to turn away, but then stopped.
Kent didn't cheat, you know.
His eyes narrowed.
And I think you do know. Some of the other Draekons say they can tell when others are lying.
Of course he knows, Kent cut in. He's just angry that someone as scrawny as me managed to take him down.
Zadok bit back a snarl. He'd had time to think about the fight over the past 24 hours, and the humans were right. He did know, and it did gall him that he had been bested by a weak human. A part of him still denied it. He stood and strode across the ground until he towered over Kent, close enough to smell the sweat from their journey so far and hear the quickening of his pulse as he glared up at Zadok.
Tell me then, in a full sentence, did you cheat in our match?
For a long moment, it seemed Kent would refuse to answer. Zadok almost hoped he would. When he spoke, he did so slowly, enunciating every word.
No. I didn't cheat during our match. I used my brain, and I got a little lucky, but I didn't cheat.
His scent and his pulse stayed steady. He was telling the truth. A growl rumbled in Zadok's chest, and he flicked the rest of his hardtack into the bushes.
It's time to move on.
He returned to his spot and gathered his things, checking that his swords were secured and his dragon's bane poultice was sealed well at his belt. Behind him, Kent muttered, speaking loudly enough Zadok knew he was meant to hear it.
As I said, too proud to accept that he lost to me.
They traveled in tense silence over the next day and a half. Aemon didn't try to offer Zadok any other overtures of friendship, and Zadok did his very best to pretend the two humans didn't exist. The only break in that blessed quiet was the third morning. Aemon edged closer as they trekked through the forest. They'd left the road behind the day before, looking around like he expected the dragon to jump out at them at any moment.
Why are there only three of us?
Aemon gestured as he spoke.
I mean, I know the clan leader said it was a hatchling, but I thought the Draekons usually hunt in larger groups.
Zadok didn't even spare him a glance.
It's a young dragon, probably only 3 or 4 decades old, not a hatchling. But we don't need more for a mere youngling. I don't even need you, but Master Ivor ordered that you come, so you're here.
From the corner of his eye, Zadok saw Aemon's jaw work.
But I thought young dragons usually stay with their mothers.
They do, but it's common enough to see them alone when they decide to strike out on their own.
I've heard it's just as common to see them in pairs. Two dragons from the same brood, or even dragon siblings hatched from different broods, will sometimes stay together, Kent said from behind them. Dragons have strong familial instincts. Zadok gritted his teeth.
They do. But our scouts only reported the one dragon here, and they always ensure they have the flight numbers correct before making their reports. Inaccuracies could mean needless draken deaths.
Aemon nodded, clearly relieved by this fact. Kent stayed silent, and Zadok didn't care about his opinion enough to see how he took Zadok's words. He quickened his stride to outpace the humans, scanning the forest around them for any signs of their prey. It was late morning when they found their dragon. Zadok saw the signs well before. Broken branches high in the trees, the absence of small wildlife in the forest around them. Later, he caught faint whiffs on the air of sulfur and blood. He steered their path to walk by the river, and soon they caught their first glimpse at the base of a cliff, a red dragon sprawled on a sunny boulder on the river's edge. It was twice his size, with a slim body. If Zadok had to guess its age, he would say it was somewhere between 35 and 40 years old, a dragon just on the cusp of maturity, not fully grown into its magic, but at its most unrestrained violence. It was the equivalent of a hot-headed teenager. He eased backwards several paces until there was no chance of the dragon seeing them. They were downwind, so as long as the idiot humans didn't give themselves away by being noisy, Zadok would have the element of surprise.
"Stay back," he growled in barely more than a whisper. "I don't need you two getting in the way while I do this."
Aemon looked ready to argue, but Kent forestalled him. "By all means. You want to face a dragon by yourself? Go right ahead." Zadok slipped away from the humans and the river, quietly making his way over the tumble of rocks that led to the top of the cliff. As he went, he reached with his magic toward the youngling, feeling out the creature's defensive and offensive capabilities, searching for what he could mimic with his own magic to use in this fight. There was nothing surprising about what he found. Talons, fangs, wings. Zadok's back prickled, and he nudged the magic to begin forming wings that mirrored those of the youngling. As he'd suspected, the dragon didn't even have fire yet, though if Zadok had to guess, he'd say the skill would develop in the next 2 years or so. The dragon seemed closer to the four-decade mark, based on the shimmering scales unique to adult males that were beginning to form along the sides of his head. It was honestly surprising he didn't have fire yet. Zadok crested the cliff, magic forming long talons from his fingertips. He could no longer smell Kent and Aemon, which was a good sign. Maybe they'd actually followed his instructions and stayed put downwind. He didn't want to have to rescue them while fighting this dragon. The dragon's odor was potent, nearly burying the scents of pine and fir and earth. Those were still present, but they were overlaid with a thick, heavy blanket of sulfur, blood, and the pungent tang that was entirely unique to male dragons. Zadok crept close to the edge of the cliff and peered over. There, sprawled belly up on a large boulder jutting into the river, lay his prey. The dragon wasn't asleep. He was moving a little bit too much for that, his tail flicking lazily in the water. But if left to himself, he would be soon. He was in a hazy, half-awake stage, no doubt based on the darker red specks around his muzzle because of a full stomach. His scales glistened a deep ruby red. Even the ones on his belly, though lighter in color, glimmered like jewels lined up side by side. His eyes were half-lidded, but his head was turned away toward the river. If he looked up, he would see Zadok immediately. But he seemed too absorbed in watching a school of fish flitting under the surface of the water to notice the draken. Zadok had to quell a brief surge of annoyance. The dragon could have been a little more attentive, made this slightly more of a challenge. He pushed the thought aside and tensed, focusing his magic to finish the forming sleek black wings folded at his back. The sudden weight of them was familiar, and Zadok only took half a second to adjust to the sensation before he pressed them close to his body and dove off the cliff. He dropped like a stone, silent but for the wind sliding over him. That sound was enough, though,
and the dragon whipped his head up, snarling and revealing massive fangs as he scrambled out of the way. He was too slow. Zadok landed on him before he could completely dodge, and Zadok's talons ripped through the dragon's belly scales once, twice, and then he pushed himself off of the dragon before the dragon's own talons could rip into him. His wings snapped open and caught the air, and with one powerful push, he sailed above the dragon, twisting to come in for another attack. The dragon rose to his feet halfway in the stream, wings flared like he wanted to take off and flee, but blood darkened the water beneath him, and he kept his belly low, no doubt covering the wounds Zadok had bestowed. Instead of coming in for a direct attack, Zadok pulled his short sword out, giving himself twice the length and slicing through the dragon's wing as he flew by. Another roar of pain battered the air. The dragon tried to whip his head around to snap at Zadok, but Zadok neatly dodged, letting his wings abruptly close so his body dropped fast and hard just below where the dragon's maw snapped shut. Zadok opened his wings again a second later and, with a powerful beat, regained his lost elevation, putting distance between himself and the dragon before circling back to attack again. The dragon's left wing drooped, and when he moved, he hobbled. Zadok sensed the moment the dragon decided to flee instead of fight, and he grinned viciously. He angled his wings to slow himself just enough to give the dragon a chance to turn away, and then he dived forward, slamming into the dragon's back and reaching around to plunge his sword into the creature's throat, slicing down toward his heart. Zadok pulled the blade back out, and the dragon's body slumped into the river. He hadn't expected it to be hard, but still, the satisfaction of a successful hunt buzzed through him. Even taking down a young dragon was a worthy, if easy, fight, and he hadn't needed the help of those worthless humans either. He hoped they had been watching from their hiding place, that they had seen what a real draken was like. He slid down the body and landed on the boulder. He needed to at least collect the dew claw. His eyes ran over the dragon. Since he was alone, he probably wouldn't be able to carry much else. He stopped, his neck prickling. That was the only warning he got before a large form tore its way out of the trees on the opposite side of the river, roaring. Zadok barely had time to dodge as a dragon twice the size of the one he had just slain slashed its claws toward him. The dodge was good. A distant part of Zadok's brain said the dodge had probably saved his life, but it wasn't good enough, because the talons clipped his shoulder anyway and sent him flying through the air until he slammed into the base of the cliff. Pain was everywhere, and more than just pain. His head spun, his vision doubled. The dragon prowled toward him with wrathful purpose, as confident that it would kill him as he had been confident that he would kill the younger dragon. Zadok struggled to his feet and pulled his magic through him, desperately gathering information about his foe as he did so. This dragon was bigger, older, more experienced, a female. And as a tickle of heat in Zadok's core told him this dragon had fire, on cue the dragon opened her maw and her throat filled with light as the flame grew inside her. Zadok tensed, scrambling to pull his magic up, willing scales to grow over his skin. But the magic was sluggish, slowed by his spinning head. He mentally calculated his chances of survival if he could scale himself against the fire in time. He had at least one broken rib, and his head pulsed and spun, not to mention the way his shoulder was torn open, the blood running slick down his arm. He would have to end the fight quickly, or he would lose too much strength or blood to continue. Fire filled the dragon's mouth, but just before she blasted Zadok, an arrow slammed into her wing, embedding itself in the thick membrane. The dragon snarled and jerked her head in the direction the arrow had come from, a small arc of fire following the swing of her head. Zadok didn't waste time looking. He already knew who had shot that arrow. He dashed from his spot at the base of the cliff, ignoring the way his steps wobbled. He needed cover. He was halfway to the trees and had just finished pulling the scales into place over his body when flame engulfed him. It was like plunging into a forge, painful, hot, but not the deadly agony it would have been moments before. He turned, pulling his second sword out,
As he'd suspected, Aemon's arrow hadn't kept the dragon's attention for long. Aemon wasn't the one who had killed this dragon's young companion, after all. Still, the arrow had bought him enough time to finish scaling his body. It had saved his life. He tensed as the dragon advanced. This very well might be where he died. A youngling he could handle on his own. A beast like this, even, if he had the element of surprise. But surprise he did not have, nor did he have his draken brethren. All he had was himself, and no time to strategize. The dragon's scales were red, like the youngling's, except instead of a bright, fiery red, these were more of a deep burgundy, almost like blood. Her eyes were pinned on him as she advanced, her head snaking forward and fangs twice as long as the youngling's glistening.
"Hey, dragon!"
The dragon's head whipped around, and this time Zadok looked to the source too. Kent stood on the body of the fallen youngling, his sword poised over its head. He stared down the second dragon in challenge.
"A dragon head trophy sounds pretty great, don't you think? I don't know if you know how money works, but I could probably sell this for a ton."
The dragon snarled and turned toward Kent, Zadok entirely forgotten. The human had to be mad, taunting a dragon like that, threatening her fallen family. Zadok froze and then grinned. Kent was almost certainly mad, yes, but the move was calculated. He'd drawn the dragon's attention and given Zadok an opening. With quick, decisive movements, Zadok started toward the dragon at a slow run, tearing open the pouch on his belt at the same time. He dipped his fingers directly into the damp poultice there. He didn't have time to use a cloth or avoid touching it himself. He scooped a large handful out and smeared it over his blade until his fingers were as clean as they were going to be without washing them in the river. Tingles were already working their way up his arm, but so long as he didn't gash open his hand, he'd be fine. Sick, but fine. He pushed into a full run and raised his sword. He would only have one chance before his brief element of surprise was lost. He had to make it count. His wings snapped open to give himself the smallest bit of lift, just enough to leap onto the dragon's back. She'd reached Kent, but he dived into the river to avoid the blast of flame she let loose. Trees on the opposite side of the river burned instead. Zadok ran up her spine and swung around, his leg hooked over her neck. Her head snapped down in surprise, and he grinned up at her as he drove the poisoned blade directly into her heart. They returned to camp 3 days late, and as such, they were met at the border by Master Ivor and a handful of other drakens. Ivor looked expectantly to Zadok, but Zadok stepped to the side, nodding to Kent. Kent came forward, fumbling with the ties of the bag he'd hung from the side of his pack. He withdrew the dew claws Zadok had collected from both dragons and offered them to Ivor with a bow. A ripple of murmurs washed over the drakens at the sight. As the one who had delivered the final blows to both dragons, Zadok should have been the one to present the dew claws. But this reaction, this is why Zadok had given them to Kent instead. It had been the right choice, in order to make the statement of how integral the humans had been to the hunt. Ivor accepted them, brows furrowing. He took in Zadok's bandages, peeking out behind the poorly mended tear in his tunic, and jerked his head to the right.
"My tent. Report. Now."
Aemon and Kent paled and scurried after him, but Boris held Zadok back, grabbing him by the elbow of his good arm.
"Brother, what happened? You were only sent after a youngling, and the dew claws. Did the human really—"
"The youngling wasn't the problem,"
Zadok said grimly, cutting Boris off. He clapped a hand on Boris's shoulder before following the clan leader and his two travel companions. Kent and Aemon already stood at attention when he strode into Master Ivor's tent. Zadok stopped beside them and gave Master Ivor a deep bow and pressed his fist to his chest. Master Ivor swept a hand out, an invitation for all of them to sit. As they did so, he took the steaming pot on his desk and poured 4 cups. The scent curled through the air, bitter and tangy, Podeja, the traditional brew shared with drakens upon their return from a hunt. Zadok accepted his from Master Ivor, holding the small cup with 3 fingers.
As his master passed Kent and Aemon theirs, Aemon started to tip his head back, but Zadok gave a subtle shake of his head that had Aemon hurriedly lowering his cup. Master Ivor folded his hands across his knees.
"You've hunted and you've returned. May your future hunts be even more successful than this one was."
Zadok tipped his head forward.
"Thank you, Master."
He lifted the teacup and downed the bitter brew in one gulp at the same time as Master Ivor. Kent and Aemon awkwardly followed suit, Aemon coughing and sputtering a little as he lowered his cup. Master Ivor collected the cups and set them back on the tray.
"Now, tell me what happened."
Zadok settled his shoulders and gave his report of finding the first dragon and slaying it, of the second, older dragon appearing, of how they'd managed to bring that one down as well. Master Ivor took it all in with an impassive face.
"You've done well," he said when Zadok finished.
He focused on Kent and Aemon.
"Your quick thinking and bravery turned the tides in that battle."
Both young men bowed, doing their best to match the Draken's stoic nature, but from the corner of his eye, Zadok saw them share a grin. Master Ivor waved a hand.
"You two are dismissed. Go get yourselves cleaned up and a hot meal."
Kent and Aemon stood, saluting hurriedly.
"Thank you, clan leader."
Only after the sounds of their retreat entirely faded did Master Ivor speak again.
"In the future, do not let your pride move you to attack so hastily."
Zadok swallowed a lump of embarrassment.
"Yes, Master."
Master Ivor searched his face for a moment before nodding.
"You achieved what I hoped for."
He jerked his head toward the door.
"Go get looked at."
Zadok rose and saluted. Beyond the tent, Boris and a few of Zadok's other Draken friends waited. They encircled him as he left and headed toward the healers.
"Brother," Boris said, "what happened? It looks like those humans almost got you killed."
Zadok's gaze caught on said humans, who had stopped at a nearby campfire and were slurping down bowls of the steaming soup that cooked over it. He inhaled slowly and then exhaled.
"No, I'm the one who almost got me killed. They're the only reason I'm still alive."
A shocked silence fell over his companions, and Zadok nearly grinned. He could hardly blame them. He had shared their views only a week before.
"Surely not," Boris recovered first. "You're the finest warrior in our clan, save for Master Ivor himself. A pair of mere humans couldn't possibly make the difference in a fight."
Zadok shrugged and kept walking.
"I understand your disbelief, brother. They may look like mere humans, but they have the hearts of warriors. I'm honored to count them among our brethren."
And he would spend his future as the clan leader instilling that view among his clan, among the born Drakens who had shared his previous views. It wasn't the entire clan, but it was enough, and many of them held their beliefs because of Zadok's influence. Rectifying those misguided beliefs was the least he could do for the humans brave enough to join them, and it felt like a vital step before Zadok would be truly worthy of stepping into his future role as clan leader.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Of Drakens and Disaster by Constance Lopez, narrated by Peter Franson of Christian Geek Central. If you want to read more by Constance, go to constancelopez.com to find more of her books. She just released Of Tides and Treason on September 26th, which is the third full novel in her Casmian Chronicles series of standalones, and I'm pleased to tell you it has plenty of sweet romance as well as action. Because, according to Constance, everything is better with love and magic. I'll have the direct link to her site and the book in the show notes. If you enjoyed listening to Peter narrate the story, you might also enjoy listening to his podcast, Christian Geek Central, where he discusses movies, video games, and all things enjoyed by self-proclaimed geeks from a Christian worldview. If you haven't already signed up for the Finding Fantasy Reads newsletter, head on over to do that now. Each week, you get an email letting you know what episode has been added, but I also include links to deals on audiobooks, new releases, and freebies from our featured authors. It's sort of like a special secret club, and everybody wants to be in one of those, right? As always, thank you all for listening, and happy reading.